You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. I am one of the hosts, Nick Bellotto, joined as always by Chris Flum, and we are here today to discuss a position group, Chris, that in the 2021 season was probably one of the worst position groups I've seen since I've been following the New York Giants, and that is, of course, the linebacker position. Obviously, injuries played a factor with Blake Martinez going down in week three against the Falcons, but the 2021 season and the linebackers on this team, it was not pretty.
No, and to say that the Giants had their worst linebacker play in recent memory last year is really saying something, because that is a position they have really struggled with, honestly, since Antonio Pierce, since his career ended with a neck injury. Yet linebacker play has just not been a strength of the Giants really in a long, long time. They just can't seem to either fill the position or get it right for any length of time.
And they haven't been investing any high draft capital into the position. We all know that the last time they selected a linebacker in the first round was, what, Carl Banks, going back to the 1980s. It's been quite a while since the Giants have really paid attention to that specific position group. And if we go back to last season, we thought it was all hunky-dory. You have Blake Martinez, you have Tay Crowder. You know, Tay Crowder, he's Mr. Irrelevant. He is who he is. But for Mr. Irrelevant, I think you can say that he plays better than, you know, the last pick in the draft, but still not somebody you necessarily want starting on your defense. But after Blake Martinez went down, it was Tay Crowder, and then you tried to put Reggie Ragland in this position to start. That didn't work out. So then you go and you sign Benardrick McKinney. Didn't work out. Jalen Smith, I felt like he flashed and he had more juice than I expected. But the common thread with all of these linebackers after Blake Martinez went down was they were just never in the position to execute their run fits. They really struggled to read and diagnose the blocks on those lateral type of rushing concepts. So, and that's what most of the NFL runs, Chris, are these outside and stretch zone type runs. And a lot of the times the Giants can never get to their responsibility. And then the just whole continuity of the defense would be faltered because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the defensive line last year, not playing up to the standard it set for itself in 2020, that didn't help matters at all either. Yeah, not having Dalvin Tomlinson there to just eat up blocks and keep the linebackers clean so they could flow to the ball, that just really compounded everything. So you had guys who were out of position, weren't reading the run fits correctly, and then getting blockers up, working up to the second level pretty easily. And we saw the Giants really start to get gashed on the ground in ways they hadn't been previously.
Yeah, and if you go back to the 2020 season, the Giants were pretty damn solid on the ground. And a big reason because of that was, like you said, Dalvin Tomlinson and obviously Blake Martinez. But if we go to the 2022 depth chart right now, Chris, what do we expect from this linebacker position? Hopefully Blake Martinez is fully recovered and he'll be back starting as the middle linebacker. And then you're more than likely going to see Tay Crowder starting, but the Giants added several young players who I believe can compete for that starting position throughout the season. The Giants also get guys like Cam Brown and Carter Coughlin back. And we could talk about whether we think they're going to make the roster or what their role will be. But what is your projection for the starting linebacker next to Blake Martinez this season?
You know, I think Tay Crowder will get the first crack at it, unless the Giants' other starting linebacker is not currently on the roster. It is, I think, always possible that another team will just have a player that the Giants like who loses out on the numbers game, and they are able to snatch him up on the waiver wire. Yeah, that I think is always a possibility, because the Giants depth chart at linebacker it just isn't, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence right now. Yeah, you know, the young guys could step up, obviously. Mike McFadden, fifth round pick, Darian Beavers, sixth round pick. Those guys have talent, they have potential, but right now it's just that. Yeah, they haven't proven it on an NFL field yet. Carter Coughlin, Cam Brown, again, those guys could both be dark horses to make this team. But I think right now the top of the depth chart is going to be Blake Martinez as the Mike and Tate Crowder as the Will linebacker, weak inside linebacker.
I think that's what it will start as well. And I think you bring up a really good point. And this is a point that applies to a lot of positions along this roster, because there are some holes on this roster. And that is, the Giants can add somebody after final cuts, a la Quincy Roche last season, and then they can find a massive contributor in that player. But to circle back to Tate Crowder for a second, according to Pro Football Focus, out of all the linebackers that played at least 20% of their defensive snaps, Tate Crowder was the lowest ranked linebacker in the league, right behind Alec freaking Ogletree. Like, that's disgusting to think about. And yeah, just going off the film, Tate Crowder wasn't great, but he does have flashes. It's not like he is an inept athlete. I feel like from a spatial awareness standpoint, he does a pretty poor job in coverage when he drops back, realizing and recognizing that there are routes coming behind him. And I also just feel like as I said a little bit earlier, he's never really in that great of a position, but he will flash at times, because I do believe he is a pretty solid athlete. And when he actually processes everything quickly and in a decisive manner, he can be effective. Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, Tate Crowder is a solid athlete for an off-ball linebacker. Nobody's going to be confusing him with a safety. He doesn't have that kind of Micah Parsons or Brian Urlacher type movement skills where you can just leave them out there in space and they can cover just huge swaths of field and get there in a hurry. But for what Tate Crowder is, for who he is a solid athlete. And yet he did crank out a bunch of tackles last year. He had 130 tackles, which is quite a lot. But just to put that in some perspective, he also played just under, and I mean just under, 1,100 snaps on defense last year. He played 1,098 snaps, 94% of the defensive snaps last year. So, yes, he was a high-volume producer, but he had a lot of reps to make those tackles in. And just because a player has a lot of tackles doesn't necessarily mean that they were effective tackles. A lot, like you said, he was out of position quite a bit, you know, when he didn't have that kind of instinctive flash to start moving and just know where the play was going to go. So a lot of his tackles wound up a little bit further down the field than they probably should have been to just stop a play cold.
It's kind of wild, man. Tate Crowder played the third most snaps out of anybody on that 2021 defense. James Bradbury played number one, and then Xavier McKinney played number two. And obviously James Bradbury is not there anymore. And the number four player is Logan Ryan at 1,003 snaps. He is obviously no longer there either. So the Giants losing a lot of snaps on this defense. And we broke down pretty extensively Darian Beavers and Micah McFadden on their rookie podcast that we dropped probably about a month ago, if you guys want to scroll down for a more in-depth breakdown on both of those players. But I do believe it's important to bring them up here, because I think they could factor into Wink Martindale's creative defensive personnel packages. And I think low-key Micah McFadden can ultimately start at some point in this season if Tate Crowder continues to struggle, put himself in position to execute his run fix. Micah McFadden fits this system really well. I think that will start and manifest itself in passing situations. But if he can prove himself to be more reliable than Tate Crowder in terms of filling the hole, stacking and shedding, playing peekaboo, and winning that cat and mouse game against opposing running backs, then I think eventually this season we could see Micah McFadden starting next to Blake Martinez.
And I also think what McFadden is able to do as a blitzer will help his case. Tate Crowder wasn't used as a blitzer all that often. Yeah, you know, last year he had three tackles for a loss and one quarterback hit, no sacks. Mike McFadden was a frequent blitzer in his defense last year with Indiana. They sent him on a blitz like I want to say pretty much every other passing down. He did not play in space all that often. He was almost always rushing the passer. And if you know Wink Martindale, you know he loves his blitzes. We harp on that pretty much anytime we're talking about the defense, but it's pretty much always relevant. Yeah, those aggressive blitz packages, the desire to create pressure is kind of the foundation for his defensive philosophy. And Mike McFadden fits into that very well, just because of how experienced he is as a blitzing linebacker.
Yeah, and he was effective too. It's not just experienced. He was one of the best pressure linebackers in the NCAA last season. And I think that's a big reason why the New York Giants are really interested in him. He also has those leadership intangibles, similar to a Darian Beavers, who started his college career as an edge rusher at UConn and then transferred over to Cincinnati, the state where he is from, great state of Ohio. Then he started playing there, kind of transitioned to a big linebacker. I think he weighed in at the combine at like 236, 237 or something like that. But there's no chance that dude is 237 pounds when he plays. He looks like he plays probably close to 250 pounds. And there are some good quality reps of Darian Beavers at edge last season against Notre Dame, where he's winning high side, using hand moves to separate from tackles, and then making sacks in the pocket or on evading quarterbacks. So I think a unique player like Darian Beavers, we may not see him traditionally play, you know, right next to Blake Martinez all that often. I think on early downs he can, because he is really, really strong at the point of attack and he does a good job stacking and shedding. But I think in passing situations, if you want to get creative, you can put him on the edge. Now, obviously, you're not going to do that and sub out Kayvon Thibodeau in that passing situation, but there are elements and reasons as to why you would put him out there. And I think he's versatile enough to handle a lot of different responsibilities. So I think Beavers will see snaps this season if he makes the team, which is not a guarantee.
No, the Giants are going to have a lot of interesting decisions, a lot of difficult decisions with their depth chart, particularly as we've talked about, they've got a ton of wide receivers right now. They've got a ton of offensive linemen right now, and they're going to be cutting those depth charts basically in half during final cutdowns. And Darian Beavers isn't just going to be competing against Carter Coughlin and Cam Brown for a roster spot. He's going to be competing against, you know, Marcus McKeithen on the offensive line and Colin Johnson at the wide receiver position. You know, his competition is coming from all over the roster, and the Giants might be in a position where they have to try to sneak him over to the practice squad. And, you know, that could wind up getting him claimed by another team on the waiver wire, kind of like Quincy Roche last year.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
And I think it really will come down to whether or not he can force the coaching staff and front office's hand with his play during preseason.
And Chris, there are two other players that kind of fall into that same category as Darian Beavers, players that it's not certain that they'll make the team. They're classified as linebackers, but they're versatile enough to play edge, which I do believe will go in their favor. They were both late 2020 round picks. One was a 6th round pick. The other was a 7th round pick. And I think Cam Brown, the 6th round pick, has a better shot of making the team because he is a special teams ace. But what is your opinion of Cam Brown and Carter Coughlin, two players who have a role on this team if they make the team, but also two players who are coming off of injury-riddled seasons?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with Cam Brown. He is probably a special teams player first. Yeah, he at Penn State, he was kind of a Swiss Army knife of a linebacker. He's not as athletic as Lorenzo Carter is, but he has that same kind of build and game where, yes, you can line him up as an edge because he's tall, long, he has enough size to do it, but he also has enough movement skills where you can drop him into space. He can play as an off-ball linebacker. But if he makes the team, it will be because of his special teams play. I think we've seen that pretty clearly from his time on the field. Carter Coughlin, I think he is a player to watch through training camp and preseason, because I think he could surprise people who have been sleeping on him and, again, force the Giants' hand into just not being able to cut him and just forcing his way onto this roster, because he does have that off-ball capability. He has the athleticism, the fluidity to play off-ball as an inside linebacker, as a weak side linebacker, but he also has plenty of experience as an edge rusher and is a pretty good edge rusher. And now maybe with Wink Martindale, the Giants have a defensive coordinator who is willing to use an undersized player as an edge rusher. So I do believe that Darian Beavers, Cam Brown, and Carter Coughlin could all be vying for one role on this defense.
And that's where it gets interesting to me, because let's circle back to 2020. Carter Coughlin was a really talented edge rusher for the University of Minnesota during his junior season. So if you want to go back to 2019, and then 2020, he didn't have as much production and he had short arms and he wasn't as big as a lot of teams would like. So he falls all the way to the 7th round, but he was a productive edge rusher and he was very, very explosive, a quick 10-yard split, a really good athlete in the 40. And he ends up falling and the Giants get him and they plug him in as an edge in 2020 as a rookie. And he's pretty productive, you know, on a defense that overperformed, I think it's safe to say. And then last season, he makes his transition to linebacker because the Giants are weak at the linebacker position. And he ends up getting hurt, so we didn't get to see it. But as you said, he has the fluidity. As long as he can process it and handle all those responsibilities mentally, then I think he could be used and leveraged in this system. And in terms of Cam Brown, dude, there's just not a lot of 6'5" guys with 34-inch arms who can move like he can. And I just think his abilities on special teams will probably secure a spot on this roster, despite the fact that he was a Joe Judge guy. But I also think Thomas McGahee being here will also help the fact that one of his core special teamers from the previous regime is still on the roster and is still really talented in that area. So I'm wondering if there's going to be a camp battle more so between Carter Coughlin and Darian Beavers. And whoever wins that will make this roster. And I think it's interesting that you brought up the offensive line and the wide receiver position, because you're right, dude. Those two position groups are going to be cut in freaking half. And some of these other position groups, it's going to be some talented guys that we find interesting that aren't going to make this team because it is very competitive this season.
I'm not sure how much we could say about the Giants' depth right now. There are a lot of guys who need to prove themselves on the field. However, the Giants do have a lot of guys right now. They have, at the very least, a lot of bodies. So there are a lot of opportunities for guys to step up and prove themselves that could make for some very difficult decisions by the end of August. But right now, there are going to be a lot of roster-wide battles for roster spots in training camp. And hopefully that will really force everyone to up their game, to do everything they can to force their way onto the roster and make sure their spot is absolutely secure. You know, the special teams question, that is going to be very interesting. That is a great point to bring up, that McGahee is still here, and so he has the most familiarity with this roster of anyone right now. But Joe Judge isn't here, so I don't know if we're going to see the same almost myopic focus on special teams that we saw the last couple of years, where they were perfectly happy to set aside five or six roster spots for special teams aces. Yeah, I think when Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, Mike Kafka, Wink Martindale, when they all huddle up to make their final decisions on what this roster looks like, there will be specialists, there will be guys who make this team because of what they can do on special teams. Special teams are obviously important, but I think we're going to see a lot more guys chosen because of what they can do for the offense or defense first.
Yeah, and that's where I come in with Cam Brown. His body and prototype seem to suggest that he can do something for your defense. We just haven't seen too much of it. We saw a little bit of it in year one last year. He was injured a lot of the time, didn't really necessarily play too many snaps on the defensive side of things. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that is handled by this new regime. And then one other player we should just bring up is Justin Hilliard, a 25-year-old who was on the team last year, was brought back this year. He is suspended for the first two games because, according to him, he mistakenly took a friend of his prescription that has an illegal substance in it. So it's only two games, but that doesn't bode well for his chances to make the team. Maybe the Giants can cut him. No one will claim him, and they could squeak him back onto the practice squad and kind of take it from there. Not 100% sure how that's going to happen, but just wanted to bring his name up.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say at the very least, he did take ownership for his mistake. He didn't deny it and appeal and go through all the things we tend to see when players kind of get busted for PED use. He said, yep, I took it. I screwed up. It was a mistake on my part, but I own it. I accept the penalty that goes with it. So, you know, kudos to him for that. But that definitely does make his path to the roster a longer one. Maybe the Giants will be able to squeak him back through. But, you know, like we said at the start, it's entirely possible that there will be linebackers playing for the Giants in 2022 who are not currently on the roster. So I think this is one position where it would make sense to kind of scout out the rest of the NFL and see if there are any kind of guys who are on the bubble for other teams that have invested heavily in the linebacker position. Maybe some older veterans, maybe some younger guys who they just happens to be a stacked defense that the Giants could really use.
And the one team that just popped in my mind when you said that is Jacksonville. And Jacksonville's defense is not great. They were not great last year, but they invested a first-round pick in Devin Lloyd, the first overall pick in Trevon Walker. He's not really a linebacker, but, you know, he's a versatile player up front. And they also spent a third on Chad Muma. So they have a lot of young players invested, and they brought in Foye Oluwakan from Atlanta. So you're looking at some of those guys on the back end of their roster, and I brought up their depth chart. They have, like, Shaq Quarterman is a player that I know had a lot of reps last year. He went to Miami. So players like that who have reps under their belt but might not be all that great, they can bring them in to possibly compete for a roster spot with these back-end guys. But the fact that the Giants spent two draft picks on rookies leads me to believe that those two will at least have the shot to earn their keep in training camp. I'm confident that Micah McFadden will. Darian Beavers, I think there is a little bit of a question around him.
Yeah, and I think another team to keep an eye on would be the Baltimore Ravens, just because they are moving to at least a little bit of a new defensive philosophy there. Obviously, Wink Martindale was there. He had a major say in acquiring a lot of the guys on their roster currently. So we could see the Giants put in a waiver claim on some Ravens linebackers if they happen to get cut.
Yeah, and LJ Fort, 32-year-old, he's been with Wink Martindale for several years. He's still a free agent, as is Otaro Alaka. I don't know anything about Alaka, but I figured I would bring him up. I believe he was an undrafted guy back in like 2019 out of Texas A&M, just has experience with Wink Martindale, and I always think it's important to pay attention to the relationships that players can have with former coaches, because I mean, just like any other business, networking is a huge thing, and it can give you a chance to make a team. And possibly we could see an LJ Ford, even though he's a little bit older, on this roster if something happens to any of the other linebackers. But Chris, do you have anything else on this current 2022 New York Giant linebacker depth chart?
You know, I think we've covered it pretty well. Probably caused the Beezer Brigade a little bit of pain. I apologize for that, but also I didn't assemble this depth chart.
It's all good, but thank you everybody for tuning in to the Chris and Nick show here on Big Blue View Radio. Please like and leave a comment, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and head on over to bigblueview.com and check out all of our written content about your beloved New York Football Giants. Take care everybody, and have a good and lovely day.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.